The Pat Kenny Show
on News Talk with Mastercard.
Now, he's known for his charismatic, authoritative, steely and fair refereeing, and he made headlines in 2007 when he was the first in the sport of rugby to publicly come out as gay. Now he's looking to break down the barriers to open, frank and honest discussion surrounding mental health disorders, and he's revealed his own battle with bulimia nervosa, which remains ongoing to this day. Nigel Owens is on the line. Nigel, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm very well. The struggle with bulimia is an extraordinary one to talk about. We associate bulimia with, normally speaking, teenage or early 20s women rather than men.
Yeah, that's very true. I mentioned the fact that I suffered from bulimia in my autobiography, which came out in 2010. And I've spoken about the other issues in my life since then quite openly. And talking about them hasn't been easy at all. And it's still not easy now because you go through that emotion all over again. And you're putting it out there, your private life, in other people's living rooms, if you like. And it's a very strange and a difficult feeling to do that. But the reason why I've spoken about the coming out and the mental health issues that I suffered back then and the depression and everything was because, after mentioning it in my book, which I felt I had to do, if you're doing a book, you have to be honest. You can't sort of not put in the things that have gone in your life. And I realized how much it helped people, young people in particular, who were going through the same things as I went through. So I'd mentioned it in my book about the bulimia, but I've never spoken about it since then in depth, really. I mentioned that I did suffer from it, but I've never spoke about it. I never really knew much about it in depth, to be honest with you, and I certainly didn't mention that I was still suffering from it until now. So I was approached by BBC and the Panorama if I would contribute to a program on eating disorders, because they knew from reading my book that I did suffer from it, and I said yes, and they asked me would I present it. And then after doing the program and filming with these case studies within the program, who were tremendously brave men from all ages and from all backgrounds, I realized that it was still an issue for me. I was still suffering from it. And I was also realized how fortunate I was that I have not suffered as badly as some of the individuals in the program has. So this is how it all came about. I haven't decided to speak about this because I want people to know what goes on in my private life. Mm-hmm. It still churns up those emotions, and it gets very distressful and difficult to do that, but I also know that the fact how important it is to speak about issues, eating disorders in particular, and also to raise the awareness, as you just said, that it's not just, you know, young girls and women who suffer from bulimia or anorexia, but it also affects men as well, and a huge percentage of men, really, and more men are now coming forward, and we're really seeing sort of the huge issue that it is. So that's how sort of all this came about.
Nigel, what was your own personal pathway to bulimia? What were the prompts?
Well, there were several reasons, I think. There was one, at sort of 19 years of age, I was going through the very difficult times in my life of dealing with my sexuality, becoming somebody I didn't want to be. I didn't know what being gay was about. It was something strange to me, and I didn't want to be gay. So all the emotions and the mental health issues and the depression, I suffered for years with that, until it got to a stage that I tried to take my own life. So with all that, and the fact as well, I was quite overweight at that age. I was about 16 and a half stone. And quite fat and obese, where my belly was hanging over the side of my trousers and over my belt. And I didn't like the way I looked. I also felt that, you know, if I'm finding myself attracted to men and a particular type of fit, healthy men that I was finding myself attracted to, they're not going to find me attractive if I'm going to be looking like this. That was my perception back then. So I decided to lose weight because, one, I was overweight. I didn't like my body image, the way that I looked. Also, that those sort of mental health issues I was going through at the time with dealing with my sexuality. And also, as well, the fact that I was refereeing, and I was, in all honesty, carrying too much weight around the field with the refereeing. And I needed to lose some weight. And I was told, look, you need to lose some weight because, you know, you are struggling to get around the field when you're refereeing games on occasion. So quite a lot of things contributed to it. But ultimately, the fact that you know, the way that I looked, really. I wasn't happy with that.
And, you got to the point, having done it initially a few times, that pretty soon you were throwing up after every meal. How did you make excuses, you know, when I'm going to the loo again?
Yeah, the first 3-4 years, it was quite intense, where I would make myself ill probably 2 or 3, maybe 4 times a day. And even in between meals, if I went out for a meal with the family or I went with my friends out for a meal or something, I'd make myself sick. I'd go to the toilet, make myself sick after eating the main meal in order I could have dessert the same as they'd be having. And then I'd go to the toilet again to make myself sick after having dessert, because the worry of putting this weight on and the image and everything that comes with it. And an eating disorder is a mental health issue. So everything was combined together, I guess. And I just, you know, I just made the excuse, went to the toilet, and I think the awareness of it back then, you're going back now, you know, 25 years ago and a bit more, and the awareness of it, so people weren't aware like they are now, and hopefully that's one of the reasons why I agreed to do the program and speak openly about it, that it will raise awareness, not only for people who are suffering from it to come forward and speak about it and seek help, because it's crucial you get help early on, but also to raise the awareness of family or friends around them if they think, oh, hang on, is there something not right here? So I was also suffering from colitis at the time. And ulcerative colitis is when I need to go, it's a bowel sort of, which is brought on by stress and stuff like that, apparently. And I still suffer from that today from time to time. So when I need to go to the toilet, you know, I need to go. I can't wait and go in 20, 30 minutes. I need to go. So people knew I was suffering from colitis. So it was that as an excuse as well. If I went to the toilet, I'd say to my friends or family, oh, look, I go to the toilet, my colitis is playing up again. And on the rare occasion, if somebody did hear me making myself ill in toilet, then, you know, they say, were you sick in there? And I was saying, oh, yeah, my stomach's a bit dodgy, I must have ate something. And they wouldn't really sort of hear it regularly, or probably only hear it once or twice and probably never thought more about it. But now the awareness, hopefully, that the program has done in raising the awareness of the people, you know, that are suffering with it, that it will also help other people, help them identify themselves as well, that they've got an eating disorder and that they need to go and seek help about it, because it's crucial you get the help early on, because the longer you leave it go, then the more difficult the recovery process, you know.
Now, you mentioned that you thought you were too fat to be attractive to other people. Then you got to the point where you thought you were too thin to be attractive to other people.
I went from 16.5 stone down to 11.5 stone, a really thin looking, pale, lost that sort of bubbliness in your character. And, you know, people are telling me, oh, you've lost too much weight now, you know. So I went to the gym and I wanted to look better and put some muscle on. And I suppose the images that were about then, I remember going to the gym and the big poster of a big muscle guy in the gym was, you know, big is beautiful. And I wanted to be that type of guy. I wanted to be big. I wanted to be muscular. And I went to the gym and then I started using steroids and I got hooked on steroids. And then the steroids became a huge part of the occasion, which led me to that night where I attempted to take my own life. And, you know, was very, very, very lucky to get a second chance. So, that was a contribution to it as well. So, and one of the side effects of steroids, there's many side effects, but one of the side effects is it does contribute to short-temperedness, depression, and everything like this, and certainly can make things a lot worse than they are.
Now, one of the most extraordinary things you reveal, that in the run-up to the 2015 Rugby World Cup, that you actually had another encounter with bulimia.
I did. The bulimia stopped. I suffered from the first 3-4 years of it in my life quite intensely, 2 or 3, 4 times a day. And then after I'd lost that weight, it became a tool then of maintaining that weight, because if I felt I'd overeat or eat too much, then I would use the bulimia, maybe not as often as I did in the first sort of 3 or 4 years, but certainly still quite frequently to control the weight. And then in 2008, I think it was, my mum told me and my dad that she had cancer and she was dying. And that day I sort of ate food and sort of really sort of, you know, ate too much just for the comfort of trying to deal with what my mum had just told us. And I thought, I've ate too much now. And I went to the toilet to make myself sick and I just couldn't. I put my fingers down my throat like I usually do. And when the bulimia raises its head again, and nothing would come up, even though I'd eaten food and eaten chocolate and stuff that day to comfort myself and in the binge eating, I couldn't make myself ill. And I realized to myself, my mum is now going to be fighting every day for the next year or so to spend that bit more time with me and my dad. And she's fighting against an illness that she really can't do nothing about. And here I am with an illness that I can do something about. And it stopped. It stopped like that overnight. Then it stopped for the next sort of 4 or 5 years. And then it creeped back then about 2013, 2014, when we were, you know, had fitness testing to do in order to go to the World Cup, which was around the corner in 2015. And, you know, I knew that I was carrying a bit too much weight. I needed to lose 2 or 3 kilos, which would help me in my fitness and also in general health as well, if you're carrying less weight than you need to carry around. And I started making myself sick again because I wanted to lose these 2 or 3 or 4 kilos in order to give me a better chance of passing the fitness test. And that's what I did. It crept back then, and I passed the fitness test. I was passing the fitness test anyway, but I didn't want to risk not passing it and not be selected to go to the World Cup. So the pressure of that then sort of added to it, and it creeped back then. And I use it as a tool then in controlling my weight, really. And I've been doing it ever since. And not as frequent. There could be weeks, there could be even months go by. Maybe 5, 6, 7 months will go by where I don't do it. But then if I feel I put some weight on and I'm looking at myself in the middle of the time, I can see some too much fat coming around the waist and stuff, then I fall back into the trap of making myself ill. And I've been doing that since until about 4 or 5 weeks ago, when I was out in Argentina, reffing the Argentina-England games out in San Juan in Argentina, where I could feel myself putting weight on because I was eating too much out there. And I used it then 3 or 4 times out in Argentina. But since coming back and doing this program, I've realized, you know, that I need help to get over this. And I haven't actually sat down and had the help yet, but doing the program has been a great help in speaking to the experts. And I haven't made myself ill since then, and I'm determined now, you know, not to let it come back again, and control your weight and your body and your health, you know, in what is the best way to do so, by eating sensibly and exercising sensibly as well.
And the reaction from people, as you say, you did talk about it very briefly in your autobiography. You mentioned it as an important element of what makes you who you are. But now that you've gone in a more direct way, very public about it, what reaction?
Yeah, it's been hugely positive, really. You know, from people from all walks of life and from all over the world. You know, I've had messages and emails and text messages and messages on social media or via Twitter, direct messages or on public messages. But also as well, I've realized how many people, I've had a huge amount of messages from people who are suffering from it, people who used to suffer from it, people who've lost people in their families or lost people in their lives because they've suffered from this eating disorder and mental health issues in the past. So it's really raised to me the awareness of how much of an issue it is, but also as well, it's shown how much support and hopefully, you know, for everybody who's going through these issues, the mental health issues, whatever they are, whether eating disorders or other issues in your life. I hope by seeing the huge positive response to the program and to myself in speaking about it, that it will encourage people to know that it's not a stigma, that it's not a sign of weakness to speak about it, that it's actually a sign of great strength to do so. And even though I know better than anybody how difficult it is to speak about something, especially in public, and how difficult it is even to tell somebody close to you of things that are going on in your life, because you feel a sense of ashamedness, you feel a sense of embarrassment, you feel a sense of weakness. But it's not. It's actually a sign of great strength. So the response to it has been hugely, hugely positive. Unfortunately, with social media, and thankfully, you can count them on one hand, there has been a few negative responses from people out there, from the trolls that use social media, who hide behind a fake name and hide behind a photo that is not even theirs. And, you know, you've got to learn to rise above them because those minority really are not worth the time of day. Just look at the huge positive from the majority of good people out there who sort of support everybody who are going through whatever difficulties they have in their life.
Well, Nigel, thank you very much for sharing with us this morning. Lots of comments coming in, admiring of your honesty and also your, of course, wonderful refereeing. We always like to see Nigel coming out to ref an Irish match. Gives us a certain confidence that you may be tough, but you'll always be fair.
Thank you. It's very kind of you to say that.
Thank you very much, Nigel Owens, for joining us. And by the way, if you were affected by any of the issues we've been talking about, you can log on to bodywise.ie or you can low-call their helpline on 1890 200 444. That's 1890 200 444. Now, coming up next, he was born in a mud hut. Now he lives in the world's most extravagant palace, India.